Thank you for your presence here tonight. Just an observation, the worship service seems to go much more quickly, or the worship service rather prior to the lesson, seems to go much more quickly for the one giving the lesson. No scientific data there, just a personal observation. I'm confident that I speak for any of the men here who have given a lesson from time to time, Ryan and Alan included, that our intent and hope with the time spent is that the study is profitable and encouraging to those present. Of course, that being said, sometimes what is profitable may not always be what we want to hear or what we might enjoy hearing, but assuming that it's based in Scripture, may very well be what's good for us and what's needed. And that may very well apply to this evening's lesson. Tonight we're going to take a lifestyle examination, a test, if you will. This is going to be a very practical lesson. I'm confident that none of us will have difficulty in recognizing the necessary application in our lives. In the way of introducing this test, I'd like to begin with a few passages to help frame our thoughts. If you'd like to follow along, turn with me to Romans, the 12th chapter. Romans chapter 12, we'll begin there in verse 1. Therefore, I urge you, brethren, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies a living and holy sacrifice, acceptable to God, which is your spiritual service of worship. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, so that you may prove what the will of God is, that which is good and acceptable and perfect. One chapter over, chapter 13 of Romans, beginning there in verse 12. The night is almost gone, and the day is near. Therefore, let us lay aside the deeds of darkness and put on the armor of light. Let us behave properly as in the day, not in carousing and drunkenness, not in sexual promiscuity and sensuality, not in strife and jealousy, but put on the Lord Jesus Christ and make no provision for the flesh in regards to its lust. 2 Corinthians, the 5th chapter, looking there at verse 15. And he died for all, so that they who live might no longer live for themselves, but for him who died and rose again on their behalf. And finally, 2 Corinthians, the 13th chapter, reading there in verse 5, and it reads, test yourselves to see if you are in the faith. Examine yourselves. Or do you not recognize this about yourselves, that Jesus Christ is in you, unless indeed you fail the test? My intention tonight is for each of us to examine ourselves. We can all be better as it pertains to sin in our lives, as well as in the area of service to others and to the Lord. And while we can all do better, we can't make these improvements collectively. We can only look at ourselves and make those changes individually. Two key thoughts tonight in introducing this lifestyle examination. The first, very simply, is this. Discipleship is more than believing right things. It is a way of living. It's how we think. It's how we speak. It's how we act. Our manner of life. My hope is that this test will help you move along in your journey toward being more Christ-like. A second key thought needs to be addressed at the outset, and that is, we are not perfect. We will never be perfect. We cannot earn our good standing with the Lord by right living. This test is not meant to discourage you, but to encourage you, to motivate you to improve in your daily living for the Lord. Thank God for his grace that he extends to us. Loving the Lord and appreciating what he's done for us, motivates us to strive in our effort to be more like him. This lesson is not my idea. I certainly can't take credit. I heard this lesson about 16 years ago in California at the church I attended while growing up there. I thought it was worthwhile material, good food for thought, and so wanted to share it with you tonight. So with those preliminary thoughts in mind, let's begin the test. The examination is broken down into 7 focus areas. Each focus area explores a number of points. As we go through these points within each focus area, you might mentally rate yourself from a 0 to a 9. 0 represents failure in that area, and 9 means you're having habitual success. You'll notice I'm not using a 10 rating. Again, none of us is perfect. I'll introduce each focus area and some of the individual points with a passage or two. I'll keep my own extraneous comments to a minimum, allowing us to simply focus on the scriptures we read and each point presented. Those of you who may be taking notes, don't despair. You might take down the scriptures we'll highlight, but I'll have a full copy of the test itself out in the lobby for those who would like one. The results are between you and the Lord, so be honest. Let's begin. The first area, focus area in our examination, equipped for spiritual intimacy. And we'll introduce that area with Philippians, the 3rd chapter, looking there in verse 10. That I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings, being conformed to his death. Psalms 119, looking there at verse 18, it reads, open my eyes, that I may behold wonderful things from your law. Further on in the chapter, verse 97, oh, how I love your law. It is my meditation all the day. We often sing the refrain in a song, I walk and I talk with the King. It is the routine of my life to spend time alone with God, to read the Bible, and to pray. 0 to 9, how would you rate yourself in that particular area? I know that Jesus is with me all day long, which has a decided effect on all my thoughts and actions. Our second focus area, equipped to think. Philippians chapter 4, looking there at verse 8. Finally, brethren, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is of good repute, if there is any excellence, and if anything worthy of praise, dwell on these things. The 2nd chapter of Philippians, beginning there in verse 1. Therefore, if there is any encouragement in Christ, if there is any consolation of love, if there is any fellowship of the Spirit, if any affection and compassion, make my joy complete by being of the same mind, maintaining the same love, united in spirit, intent on one purpose. Do nothing from selfish or empty conceit, but with humility of mind, regard one another as more important than yourselves. Do not merely look out for your own personal interest, but also for the interests of others. Have this attitude in yourselves, which was also in Christ Jesus. Gentleness. My life is free from all outbursts of selfish rage or anger. I am approachable, easily entreated, and open to criticism. I don't get defensive when I'm corrected or rebuked. Humility. I do not have an inflated self-opinion, and I constantly consider others higher than myself. I have a teachable spirit and avoid all bragging, name-dropping, and spiritual pride. Looking at Ephesians chapter 4, there in verse 2, with all humility and gentleness, with patience, showing tolerance for one another in love. Dropping down in verse 32 of the same chapter, be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving each other, just as God in Christ has forgiven you. Pure attitudes. My lifestyle is one of right relationships, not just outwardly, but inwardly too. I have no hate, ill will, malice, or bitterness towards any other person anywhere on earth. Second Timothy chapter 1, looking there at verse 7. For God has not given us a spirit of timidity, but of power and love and discipline. Boldness. I have been able to launch out and take risks for God, keeping fear under control and being obedient to God. There is no God-given task that I'm resisting because of fear. Matthew chapter 6, looking at verse 31. Do not worry then, saying, what will we eat? Or what will we drink? Or what will we wear for clothing? Dropping down to verse 33, but seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. Trust. I not only believe, but act as if his eye is on the sparrow, and I know he's watching me. My life is one of simple reliance on God. I'm free from worry and anxiety about the future. First Timothy chapter 6, reading there in verse 9. But those who want to get rich fall into temptation and a snare, and many foolish and harmful desires which plunge men into ruin and destruction. Resisting materialism. I resist the materialistic lifestyle of my culture, choosing rather to live a life of contentment and satisfaction with what I've got. I'm not always wanting more. How do you rate yourself in the area of materialism? Galatians chapter 5, there in verse 20, Paul enlisting the deeds of the flesh, notes jealousy among them. Selfish ambition. I have laid aside all jealousy of another's success, envy, and selfish ambition. I do not eagerly hunger to climb the ladder to gain personal power and position. Matthew 5, verse 8. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Thoughts. My mind is absolutely free from all impure thoughts. I have habitual victory over all sinful sexual fantasies or daydreams. Verse 28, the same chapter of Matthew. But I say to you that everyone who looks at a woman with lust for her has already committed adultery with her in his heart. Guarding the eye gate. I carefully guard what I allow to enter my mind through the gate of my eyes, avoiding questionable movies, magazines, videos, internet websites, and TV shows that could cause me moral problems. Our thoughts, an area not externally seen by others, but deep down, we know. How do you rate yourself in regards to your thoughts? Our third focus area, equipped to quit. We'll look at Ephesians chapter 4, begin there in verse 28. He who steals must steal no longer, but rather he must labor, performing with his own hands what is good, so that he will have something to share with one who has need. Let no unwholesome word proceed from your mouth, but only such a word as is good for edification, according to the need of the moment, so that it will give grace to those who hear. Do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, by whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. Let all bitterness, wrath, and anger, and clamor, and slander be put away from you along with malice. Be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving each other, just as God in Christ also has forgiven you. Harmony. I'm not a participant in any group sins, like quarreling, dissension, fighting, or factions in the congregation, at work, or in my family. Forgiveness. If there is an individual or group of people who hurt me in the past, I hold no resentment, bitterness, or grudge against them. I have fully forgiven everyone who has ever hurt me. Restitution. If I've taken things which do not belong to me or hurt people by what I said or did, I've tried to make things right. Stealing. I'm careful to avoid taking anything that belongs to another, no matter how small. Our next focus area, equipped to speak. Once again, Ephesians, the 4th chapter, verse 29. Let no unwholesome word proceed from your mouth, but only such a word as is good for edification, according to the need of the moment, so that it will give grace to those who hear. One chapter over in Ephesians chapter 5, there in verse 4, and there must be no filthiness and silly talk or coarse jesting, which are not fitting, but rather giving of thanks. Truthfulness. My yes is yes, my no is no. I totally avoid half-truths, white lies, flattery, or exaggeration. I practice absolute honesty in speech. Tongue stewardship. I abstain from slander, gossip, harshness, unkindness, biting criticism, caustic remarks, obscenity, foolish talk, and coarse joking. Instead, I use my tongue to build others up, giving words of encouragement, comfort, help, inspiration, and challenge. Thanksgiving. It is the habit of my life to thank God and others for what they have done. I can honestly say that I am a thankful person and often express my gratitude. Peacemaking. It is my practice to try to bring peace between others who are at odds. I don't just stand by and allow division to fester without trying to get involved to bring peace. Restoring others. I hurt when sin overtakes another Christian. I often get involved, humbly coming alongside to help them back to their feet spiritually. First Peter 3, there in verse 15, it reads, "But sanctify Christ as Lord in your hearts, always being ready to make a defense to everyone who asks you to give an account for the hope that is in you, yet with gentleness and reverence." Evangelism. I typically share the gospel with unsaved people. Evangelism is a habit of my life. How do you rate yourself in the area of evangelism? Meekness. I refuse to fight back when people criticize, condemn, reject, or complain against me, even if they do it with wrong motives. I practice giving a soft answer to turn away their wrath. next focus area, equipped to walk. Ephesians chapter 5, we'll look there at verse 15. Therefore, be careful how you walk, not as unwise men, but as wise, making the most of your time, because the days are evil. So then do not be foolish, but understand what the will of the Lord is. Compassion in action. I search out opportunities to care for the needy. I visit sick people, aid the elderly, visit prisoners, and clothe the destitute. My compassion is more than feeling. It leads to action. Persistence. It is normal for me to hang in there when things get difficult, stressful, or unrewarding, even if I must face suffering, difficulty, or persecution. My persistence keeps me from giving up too easily, so I just keep on keeping on. Submission. I do not resist those in authority over me, even if they are less competent or less gifted. Right relationships. Reflecting on all my relationships, past and present, I'm able to say there are no broken relationships with anybody which I have not attempted to straighten out. Giving. I regularly practice generous giving to both the church and the poor, to the homeless and helpless, to widows and orphans. My home is open to regular hospitality. Generosity is normal behavior for me. Living above reproach. I carefully attend to my relationships with the opposite sex, so that not even the hint of impropriety exists. I painstakingly avoid situations that could feed sinful desires or even tempt others to gossip about me. And I have no dangerous emotional bonds that could lead to trouble. Use of time. I'm a good steward of my time. I live close enough to Christ that his priorities are becoming my priorities. And I do not waste time on watching too much TV or other time-wasting activities. How do you rate yourself in the use of time? Focus area number 6, equipped for a godly home. Let's look at Deuteronomy chapter 6. We'll begin there in verse 4. Hear, O Israel, the Lord is our God. The Lord is one. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your might. These words which I am commanding you today shall be on your heart. You shall teach them diligently to your sons and shall talk of them when you sit in your house and when you walk by the way and when you lie down and when you rise up. You shall bind them as a sign on your hand, and they shall be as frontals on your forehead. You shall write them on the doorpost of your house and on your gates. Family time. It is the routine of my life to control the amount of time I spend at work, pleasure, and other activities, which take too much time from my family. Family time is a high priority in my life, and I live like it is. Our final focus area, equipped for spiritual passion. Philippians chapter 3, looking at verse 12. Not that I have already obtained it or have already become perfect, but I press on so that I may lay hold of that for which also I was laid hold of by Christ Jesus. Brethren, I do not regard myself as having laid hold of it yet, but one thing I do, forgetting what lies behind and reaching forward to what lies ahead. I press on towards the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. I hunger to become more Christ-like and take my spiritual growth seriously. I do not ignore, dismiss, or excuse areas where I fall short, even in all those we've listed above, since I have a spiritual passion for becoming more like Jesus. Well, pencils down. How did you do? We all have areas that we can improve in, don't we? But let's personalize it. I have a number of areas I can improve in. In the way of a conclusion this evening, turn with me, if you will, to Hebrews chapter 4. Hebrews, the fourth chapter, beginning there in verse 12. For the word of God is living and active and sharper than any two-edged sword, and piercing as far as the division of soul and spirit, of both joints and marrow, and able to judge the thoughts and intentions of the heart. And there is no creature hidden from his sight, but all things are open and laid bare to the eyes of him with whom we have to do. Amen. You know, there's only so far that self-denial and hypocrisy can go in our lives. We need to open our lives to his truth. And that requires honesty and integrity. Lastly, 1 John, looking there at verse 1. Verse 5. This is the message we have heard from him and announced to you, that God is light, and in him there is no darkness at all. We all have improvements to make, and the first step in doing so is to be honest in where we are and where we need to be. Let's find those areas of weakness in our lives and strive to improve and to be more Christ-like. If you are not a Christian tonight, you can begin living the Christian life right now. Don't be intimidated by this test. God isn't looking for perfection. He wants those who do the best job they can in living for him. And as Christians, we're overwhelmed by his grace that covers us. If your desire is to begin that Christian walk by putting Christ on in baptism, he welcomes you with open arms. If you are a Christian who has struggled and needs help and encouragement, you can make that known this evening. Whatever your need may be, please let it be made known now as together we stand and sing.